Many are those who wonder, why am I here? Or, what should I do with my life? Does anyone love me? What will become of me? These questions are expressions of the soul's hunger. It was to feed this hunger that led Jesus to teach them many things, even before he gave them loaves and fish for their bodily hunger.
That's Bishop Charles Duvall, and today we celebrate 70 years of Faithful Weekly Broadcast. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today is the fourth in our series of programs celebrating the 70th anniversary of the Protestant Hour and Day One. And we're honored to have with us today the Right Reverend Charles F. Duvall, who served as the second bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of the Central Gulf Coast from 1981 until his retirement in 2001. For 20 years before that, Charles served rural, suburban, and urban congregations in the Diocese of South Carolina, East Carolina, and Upper South Carolina, where he now serves as assistant bishop. Charles is a graduate of the Citadel and earned his Master of Divinity from Virginia Theological Seminary. He received Doctor of Divinity degrees from Virginia Seminary and the School of Theology at Suwannee, the University of the South. He served as the chair of our parent organization from 2002 to 2006, and his popular audiobook, Biblical Stories Retold to Tickle the Ear and Touch the Heart, is available from EpiscopalMarketplace.org. Charles, welcome, and thank you for helping us celebrate this ministry milestone.
I'm delighted to be here. The Protestant Hour and Day One have been powerful ministries, not only in the life of the United States, but in my own personal life.
For 20 years, you served as the bishop of the Diocese of the Central Gulf Coast. Tell us about that diocese and what brought you the most joy as its leader.
The diocese is a relatively new diocese in the Episcopal Church. It was founded in 1970 from parts of the Diocese of Alabama and the Diocese of Florida. We took the southern part of Alabama and the northwest part of Florida and put them together as a new jurisdiction. And as you have mentioned, I was its second bishop. It was an interesting diocese to serve in because it lapped over state lines, mm-hmm. which most dioceses do not. I had to have, for instance, a legal advisor in Florida and one in Alabama mm-hmm. because the laws are different in the two states. I found that in God's grace, the people there geed and hawed with me very nicely. We had similar desires to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. In my time there, we opened six new congregations throughout that geographical area. And it was an exciting time to be bishop and to be bishop in that place.
You graduated from the Citadel, earning a bachelor's degree in history. So how did you experience your calling to the Episcopal priesthood?
I was very active as a young person in youth work in the Episcopal Church in South Carolina, and both at camp and in school-time programs. And so was thinking about the ministry even before I went to college. In college, I was active in college church work, and the inclination to answer a call to ministry continued to grow. I went to see the bishop and told him about my interest, and he encouraged me. And so the fall after I graduated from college, I went on to seminary, and the rest is history.
You first preached on the Protestant Hour in the fall of 1987, a series of 12 programs. What was the theme of your series?
The theme was the Psalms, which Skip Schutig, then the director of the Episcopal Media Center, asked me to use as a theme. I had never preached specifically on the Psalms before, so it was quite a challenging assignment. I learned a lot about the Psalms, and I enjoyed doing that program. The choirs of two of our churches in the Central Gulf Coast provided the music for the programs, Christ Church in Pensacola and St. Paul's Church in Mobile. And that gave me great pleasure to have them be on the program with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a clip from one of your first sermons in that series we'd like to take a listen to.
7th century Hebrew poet who in Psalm 104 waxes rhapsodic about the world, the sky and sea, and the creatures therein, had none of the scientific knowledge or language with which we are blessed in the 20th century. But oh, did he have insight. Insight that nothing in creation is an accident. As a Christian who anticipates the great feast of Christmas just 5 days from now, I can add to the insight of the poet who lived so long before the birth of Jesus. Not only can one see the hand of God in the making and sustaining of this marvelous world, but God has chosen to visit his creation in a manner most recognizable to us. God became one of us, that his world might not only be created and sustained, but also redeemed and restored. Thanks be to God for such graciousness.
I understand that rather than recording in the old Protestant Hour studio, you recorded your sermons in a church pulpit. Tell us about that experience.
Well, it was a fairly interesting experience because I was in the pulpit. My wife and Skip were in the congregation, and that was it. There were two people sitting out there in these large churches where I recorded, and it was difficult to get the feel of the congregation because most of us who preach with some regularity feed off of the response of the congregation, and there was not much congregation out there to respond. But it was a way that I could make those recordings while still being an active bishop and not getting too far away from my office.
Mm-hmm. So what is your hope for this ministry for the next 70 years?
Well, number one, I hope it will continue. And number two, I am just very pleased at how the ministry is beginning to include other denominations which at its founding 70 years ago either didn't exist or were not interested in being a part of things. And so the ecumenical nature of the ministry is a very important thing, and I'm excited about that.
Amen. Your sermon today is based on the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 6. Would you read the passage for us?
This is Mark 6, beginning at verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a lonely place by themselves. Now many saw them going and knew them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great throng, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Here ends the reading.
Charles, your sermon is entitled Feeding the Soul's Hunger. Thank you for being with us.
You're certainly welcome. My pleasure.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program or read or share a transcript of Bishop Duvall's sermon or any of the sermons in this special 70th anniversary series, please visit our website at dayone.org. Or for a free printed sermon transcript, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as the fire and enkindle in our hearts a love of the Lord Jesus. Come as the dove and bring to our lives the peace of God. Come as the wind and blow away those clouds of doubt and uncertainty which would keep us from following Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The scene is this. The Gospel writer Mark tells us the apostles have been out on a mission trip, teaching and healing, and they return worn out physically and spiritually. Jesus suggests a quiet respite away from the crowd, but the crowd follows them. Seeing the great throng, Jesus has compassion on them and begins to feed their hunger. Ah, we think, we know what is coming. In our minds, we jump in anticipation to the 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus is aware of a deeper hunger than growling stomachs. Before Jesus gives them the fish and bread, he first begins to teach them many things. The Word of God, in the flesh of Jesus of Nazareth, feeds their soul's hunger with the good news of God's love, mercy, and grace. Now, don't get me wrong. Bodily hunger is real and present among us even in America, which seems to be flowing with milk and honey. For the last 10 years, I have served on the board of the Harvest Hope Food Bank, which strives to meet the hunger needs of almost 1/3 of the state of South Carolina. We collect and distribute hundreds of thousands of pounds of food, some donated, some surplus, some purchased, to begin to meet the hunger of the body. I see it as a Christian imperative. Hunger of the body is real. Jesus knows this, and later in this chapter of Mark, we see him feeding the crowd the 5 loaves and 2 fish. It is clear that Jesus' compassion touches the hunger of the body as well as the soul. But if we miss the feeding of the soul that Jesus engaged in as he taught them many things, we shortchange ourselves and the hungry crowd in which we live. Just as I have become aware of the large number of people without adequate food, I am deeply aware of the multitudes who hunger in their souls for meaning and peace. Many are those who wonder, why am I here? Or, what should I do with my life? Does anyone love me? What will become of me? These questions are expressions of the soul's hunger. It was to feed this hunger that led Jesus to teach them many things, even before he gave them loaves and fish for their bodily hunger. Who is this Jesus who can feed both body and soul? He is God in human flesh, God incarnate, the divine one dwelling in this world of carnal people. He knows the hungers of human life because he lived human life. He has the power to satisfy the hunger of body and soul because he is God, the author of all life. In my readings, I've come across a fanciful story that tells this truth in this manner. God, as everyone knows, created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And, as we are now aware, he created them through the use of words. For words, of course, are power. "Let it be done," God proclaimed, and it was done. and everything he made was good. Well, God was especially proud and loving of the man and woman he made because he had breathed into them a part of himself, his spirit. Not surprisingly, the devil was jealous and angry. So one day when God was enjoying the humans, the devil casually happened to walk by. He sauntered up to God and asked him what he liked so much about these creatures. When God opened his mouth to speak, the devil craftily put a bond on his tongue so that he could not speak. God could not talk. Since God's creative power is in his words, the devil had bound that power. The devil laughed at God and quite had his way with the humans. Well, as eons went by, the devil came back to mock God. He scoffed at the silent deity and taunted this helpless God. God responded to all this by holding up one finger. "One?" asked the devil. "Are you trying to tell me that you want to speak just one word?" "Yes," God nodded. The confident devil thought to himself, "I don't suppose that even God could do much harm with just one word." So the devil removed the bond from God's tongue. And God spoke his one word in a whisper. He spoke it for the man and the woman, and it brought them great joy. It was a word that gathered up all the love, forgiveness, and creativity that God had in his heart. The word he spoke was Jesus. Jesus. That is the word we are called to speak also. We all who are baptized are given the task of making Jesus known, but especially those of us who are called preachers. The Apostle Paul felt this responsibility powerfully, and he wrote to the early disciples in Rome, "But how are men to call upon him on whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher?" Preachers have been spreading the word about Jesus ever since his life, death, resurrection, and ascension to the glory of the Father. For the past 70 years, this program, first called the Protestant Hour and now called Day One, has used the radio to reach people about Jesus. Powerful preachers from the four founding denominations, Episcopal, Lutheran, Methodist, and Presbyterian, are joined today by others, Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, United Church of Christ, and individual preachers from other denominations in keeping Jesus in the ears and minds of listeners. I personally was fed by the Protestant Hour back in 1962. I was a new clergyman serving three small mission congregations in rural South Carolina. On Sunday mornings, I would ride the circuit, beginning with the congregation the most distance from my house, and work my way home doing a service in each church. By the grace of God, a local radio station was airing the Protestant Hour as I made my first long drive, and I heard the Reverend John R.W. Stott from All Souls, London, England, as he preached for 12 Sundays on the Creed. It was wonderful and nourishing to my life. My soul and my sermons were strengthened by hearing the truth about Jesus proclaimed in such a stirring way. as you listen to my words today, I pray that you will be concerned about the dual hungers of the body and the soul. Even in America, there are those who don't have sufficient food for the body. Are you donating to local food banks? Or maintaining a food closet at your church? Or assisting in a local soup kitchen? I see Christians of many denominations banding together to meet this bodily hunger, and I hope you will join in that Christian mission. But what of the hunger of the soul? Those with little money are often the ones suffering bodily hunger. Ironically, it is often those with money who suffer the most from the soul's hunger. I have all this, but what does it mean? I am successful in my business or profession, but does all this time and effort count for anything? Who would love me if they really knew my inner thoughts and actions that I hide from the public eye? The answer, now as always, is Jesus. He loves us in spite of knowing the secrets of our hearts. He forgives us when we stumble and fall flat in attempting to walk the straight path. Today, I proclaim to you Jesus the Christ to meet the hunger of body and soul. Does your life proclaim that same Jesus? Today, the word of Jesus is being proclaimed over the airways through the means of radio. I pray that day one will continue to evangelize a hungry world through the power of radio. Oh, that the name of Jesus will continue to resound on the airways and in our hearts. Grant, Almighty God, that the words we have heard this day with our outward ears may, through your grace, be so grafted inwardly in our hearts that the hunger of our bodies and souls may be fed to our great good and the praise of the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is Sherry Miller. This year, Day One celebrates its 70th anniversary. Since our founding as the Protestant Hour in 1945, we've not missed one weekly broadcast. Today, Day One is distributed to over 200 stations nationwide and in a dozen other countries. Through this ministry, America's most accomplished ministers have preached more than 3,600 sermons, reaching millions of listeners with the good news of God's love. We simply couldn't achieve this without the financial support that you and other loyal listeners provide. Broadcasting with such quality and impact every week for 70 years is an amazing accomplishment, and we're reaching more people than ever. But for this ministry to continue, we need your prayers and your financial support. Please, give generously so that Day One can continue to proclaim the good news on the radio and online in the years ahead. Mail your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. That's 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Or call us at 1-888-411-DAY1. Or give securely online at dayone.org. May God bless you in the years to come, and may God continue to bless this unique ministry. Now, Bishop Charles Duvall offers some final reflections on today's sermon with our host, Peter Wallace.
Charles, thank you for your sermon, which I think really captures what this radio program has been about, not only feeding the soul's hunger by preaching the Bible, but also challenging believers to engage in meaningful service to those in need. In this story from Mark chapter 6, you said that before Jesus gives people the loaves and fishes, he first teaches them many things. The Word of God in the flesh of Jesus of Nazareth feeds their soul's hunger with the good news of God's love, mercy, and grace. Why is this still so important today, some 2,000 years after Jesus' ministry on earth?
Well, number one, bodily hunger still exists, but also the hunger of people's souls is very apparent in our society. We see people even in an affluent and prosperous world who are wandering around somewhat lost. And that soul's hunger is only spoken to by the power and love and mercy of Jesus Christ. And so for this to be continued in proclamation is important.
And as you said, Jesus ministered to both body and soul, and you encouraged us as his followers today to do both as well to those in need. How might we do that more effectively together in our congregations?
Well, I have found that very often there are agencies in the community where different churches can cooperate with those agencies like food banks, on which I serve on one of their boards. And it enables us to do more work than any one of us can do individually. Almost every part of the United States is served by some food bank. And churches can not only collect food for the food bank, but collect money for the food bank and provide volunteers for the food bank. It's a very important ministry, and it's a way we can do things beyond the scope of our individual congregations.
And I'm sure many people listening today are also hungering for meaning and peace, wondering, why am I here, or what should I do with my life? Does anyone love me? What will become of me? You asked those questions, and you said these questions are expressions of the soul's hunger. What would you say to someone wrestling with those questions today?
Since I believe that Jesus is the answer to that soul's hunger, I would say get with Jesus' people. Get with the church, whatever that church is or whatever it calls itself. It's important to know the body of Christ, the church. It's important to study what he did, said, and continues to do in this world through Scripture. If you want to have your soul fed, go to the kitchen that we call the church.
Bishop Charles Duvall, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.